come join the conversation. The show that you've been wanting. Keep it real with no filter. Weekly we share discussions. WWSD, interviewing creative guests, talking the creative process and sharing all the influences from TV and film. Emmy nominated and winning. Yeah, they coming through. Actors and comedians too. Directors and writers, way more than a few. Masters of their craft, yes. Tune in, you gotta see. This the podcast that you need. WWSD.
Welcome to WWSD Podcast, Weekly We Share Discussions. I'm your host, Josh, and as always, I'm joined by my best friend and co-host, Seamus. How's it going, Seamus?
Doing great, man. How are you doing?
Doing well, yeah, yeah.
It's been a year, buddy. It's been a year.
Been a fucking year, which is absolutely insane. We've gone 50 plus weeks now, never dropping episode. My house nearly burnt down. I think we took like most of summer off as well. Like we didn't record for like an entire month. My wife's due any moment. So yeah, we're gone to Disney.
It's crazy. I've never done anything consistently for more than 2 weeks. So this is a pretty crazy accomplishment.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, you showed up at least 52 times.
Yeah, I showed up 52 times. That's big for me, buddy. That's big for me.
But speaking of big, we actually have a pretty cool episode tonight. This one's a little bit different than the stuff we normally do. We thought it would be kind of quirky to do something different.
Tonight, we're going to flip the script a little bit, get interviewed ourselves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of wonky.
It's a little wonky. My pops is coming on. He's going to ask us some questions. We're going to have a good time. I hope you all enjoy.
Yeah. Speaking of your dad and all, yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy. He's done quite a bit, worked in radio and broadcasting for many years. He's interviewed countless people. And so it's actually kind of cool. Like he's known, obviously, you for most of your life, I would assume.
Well, most of it. Yeah. There was a time in there he wasn't, you know, we didn't really know where he was, but, you know,
we all do that. I've known your dad for almost as long as I've known you, realistically, like since we were in middle school. And so he's always been somewhat a part of our lives or my life. And so it's really cool reconnecting with him on this episode. And those are listening, this is a precursor. We would in a few weeks, you'll hear a full episode where we interview his dad and all. Definitely, he's a cool guy.
So you guys are going to have this fabulous opening where you go, I'll tell you what, guys, that theme you guys got, you know, that real
cool the intro part. Song.
Oh, man, it is so sweet.
$60.
It was $60. Isn't that crazy?
You got to send that guy like a gift certificate to someplace cool. Where's he from? Where's he from?
I don't know.
I think he's in the States, at least. He might be in the States. Yeah,
he's in the States.
If he's in the States, is he in Tampa?
I don't know. Let's see.
Or find out where he's from, man, and just like cue him up. Because I mean, that $60. You know, I used to get like $120 just for like writing a 60-second commercial and just bullshitting around for 60 seconds.
Yeah, when Seamus sent to me the initial draft, and it's like, this is insane. Like, this is like the coolest thing ever. Like I had like medium expectations and it just like blew me away.
Yeah. And the guy's talented. I mean, man, oh man. Do you know his name at least?
So yeah, on Fiverr, he's Burton M6.
So he's a voice actor, writer, and does.
He's probably a producer and rapper.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's obviously really good at scoring that.
And we got it quick. It was like within like 24 hours. He sent us the first cut.
Oh man!
I was surprised. Like, we'll probably do it for, like have him do some more work for us at all, just because.
I wonder if there's like a Sinatra style dude that'll sing some stuff. That would be cool too.
Oh no, they're
that'd be awesome.
They're out there.
Yeah. We could do like a bunch of different styles.
Yeah, we could do like doo-wop or something, or like
Oh yeah, really. Get a bunch of girl a cappella girls to go out there and sing the same lyrics, you know?
Maybe.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. We didn't give him much to work with either. Like Seamus sounded like a half paragraph. Like it wasn't that impressive. Like what we said, we didn't really give him a lot to work with. And
no, that just shows his genius, man.
He basically cut a bunch of stuff from our like explanation and then just put it together. It was cool,
man. Cool stuff. Anyway, best to worst. All right. What was the, now I'm not talking about the people that were on the show. I'm talking about, I want to know the show that was most disjointed. Where did you guys feel the most exposed? Where were your
most exposed?
The most exposed. Like, oh my God, please This is like getting stoned when you really shouldn't have been, because now all you can do is think about yourself, you know, that kind of thing.
So I actually have a pretty all right one. We were interviewing Brian Sipe. He's a Emmy Award winning makeup artist. He's worked on like The Mandalorian, the Marvel movies.
Yeah, he's like, he's a serious dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're interviewing him, and then all of a sudden, like, Seamus just drops out and he texts me. He's like, I've lost my power, but like, I'm still continuing the interview, not missing a beat. And Brian's not missing a beat either. He's just not even like noticing that the Seamus has disappeared. And then like 5 minutes later, Seamus comes back. Seamus throws a question out and we just keep going. And then it happened again. And it's just like, he like, he didn't even miss a beat any of those times. He just kept like this rolling, and it was just like nothing happened. It was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not going to say anything, because like, we had good chemistry. It was working.
That's great instinct.
When we were talking to Greg Zajac, I was having a lot of issues with my computer, and I was 5 minutes late. That was a big one. So like, it took me a few minutes to get back.
Get back in the
swing of things.
And then I remember I was on edge because of it. Yeah.
There was another one too that happened similarly. Like, we were interviewing Mike Zapsik, and he only had like a half an hour to come on, and he was there early. So I was coming on, and then, you know, we were both frazzled. I remember Josh just like rushed through the intro like really fast. You know,
yeah.
Like, there's been times like that where it's been kind of rough. Yeah. We haven't had anything. I've always thought it'd be funny if we think we're gonna interview one person, but it's somebody else with the same name.
Oh, I always
thought that would be hilarious.
Well, at least you guys don't do any prep. I mean, you guys don't do any prep.
We do,
right?
Like, minor.
We do. So I prep a bit.
Yeah, it depends on who they are. Like comedians are a little harder because like they don't have all their stuff like posted on the internet, so it's like hard to see like a full set of theirs. More than like maybe a couple like jokes here and there. So those are a little bit harder to get. But like movie actors and people that work in like Hollywood, you can at least see what they worked on. Like, going to their IMDb and their websites are usually pretty good.
No, with comics, though, those guys are just like, you just keep plugging at it for the most absurd stuff.
They're easy to talk to because you just like bullshit really, around really. And like we get good stuff.
Okay, so because of technical difficulties, that was the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about just having somebody who was like really not into it? And no names. You don't have to give any names.
Everyone we've had has been, they've been pretty like nice, pretty good, you know.
Everybody I've heard from you guys are dynamic, just absolutely dynamic. Like the comic that you guys did this last week,
Lauren Defoe, yeah.
Oh my god, and she's just brilliant.
And it's funny because that actually episode was like a shit show episode in the terms like that, where nothing really went right. And I actually had to recut the episode quite a bit to make it flow properly.
No, it flowed. It flowed. Boy, that's one thing I sent Seamus a note on that.
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
Yeah. Was, like, I had to cut it like severely. Like, it was all over the place.
We tried to like just to not do an intro and just go into talking like with her. And like it didn't quite like flow the way that we normally do.
Yeah, you got to stick to your formatics, honest to God.
It was something I wanted to try because I'd heard a lot of podcasters talk about like how they used to do an intro, but now they just kind of go into it and it's a better conversation. They are much better at what they do than we are because they've been doing it for so much longer, you know, and that might just be something that you get into at some point.
It's, if you look at a line, here's the line right here. When you're starting out, you're like this.
Yeah.
And then you get up here. And here, and you're like this. So your worst show is going to be better than your best show. That's how it works. And you guys have definitely started coming into a zone, man. I mean, it is sweet. There's not a lot of scenic drives. The sweetest part of it, though, is everybody that I've heard you guys interview seems to be interested in, they're not just interested in themselves. They're interested in the fact that you guys were kind enough to ask them. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty big deal. Which means that they're feeling pretty comfortable.
That's something I've been I've been pleasantly surprised with, is how excited people are to talk about what they love. Like, even is like when we started this out, like I was kind of thinking that, you know, that people wouldn't want to talk to it. Like, hey, who the fuck cares about these amateur podcasts? Like, I don't want to go on your fucking podcast for an hour. Who the fuck are you? You know, that kind of attitude. That's what I was expecting to run into sometimes, but everybody's been great. It's been really awesome.
Yeah, but that whole thing is they all started out in their socks, you know. Yeah. I mean, everybody's been on the same boat, and the beauty of it is they're not pretentious, and they're not, I mean, there are probably some pretentious people out there, but you know, you guys are doing a good job of ducking those guys. And even if they are pretentious, nothing. I mean, you guys, you know, you'll start realizing that somebody who's pretentious is really, really good. Because you guys are basically just doing video radio. If you consider the fact that the audio is driving this whole thing, because look at us, dear God. I mean, all we do, we just look like, you know, we're the before picture for one of those things you can shave your balls with.
Yeah, we look like extras in like a caricaturized cartoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not even the main character.
No. We're just the guys. We're the guys that we're playing dominoes and eating chicken.
Yeah, we're like the dudes outside the gas station, like when they pass by when the main character is going in to get something.
Yeah. We're just sitting here drinking a 40 out of a paper bag.
Yep.
That's what we're all about.
And it's funny, we do have a small handful of guests that usually do come on, and they are a bit more reserved initially, and like they're a little, not standoffish, but like they're just more like on edge, and they haven't fully opened up yet. But like usually by the end of it, like they're usually really friendly with us.
And that's a sweet part of it too, because what you do is you get a nice arc, got a really nice arc. So I tuned it in. I'm driving around, and you know I'm listening to it. Denise is with me, and we're just kind of grooving around and stuff like that. And she goes, "This is a really good podcast." I said, "Yeah, it's Seamus and Josh. They sound so wonderful."
She's such a sweet lady.
Yeah. Dude, don't get me started. Yeah, this move has been real good for me.
Yeah.
But back to the Lauren episode though, it's so funny like how disjointed it was, but like it still worked out really well. And she was just really fun to like talk to. I think that's what really carried it.
We should clarify too, like it wasn't, that's no like stain on her. Like she was awesome to talk to. It's just like we didn't have a lot of structure like when we were going through it.
Well, like it's like our usual structure is, it's more like you said, like an arc where we kind of start like, all right, let's get you, and then we kind of build it up, and then like, all right, this is the pinnacle, this is like where we're at. And it's just like there was none of that arc building. It was kind of just like, all right, we did here, then we jumped here, then here. And then that's the beauty of like recorded audio. I can fix that. I can just fix that all in post.
Oh yeah, that's one thing that I've always said. I mean, if you're not going to be rehearsing this, your instincts are growing really well. And that one exchange, who's the guy who was the SNL writer? I mean, that guy's
Alan Linick.
Yeah,
like
Linick.
The man when it comes to like improv. Mm-hmm. The one thing I thought was really cool, and it was an exchange with Seamus. He was talking about, I just remember his lead was, I'm not going to be the guy that comes up and say, hey, did you see how Roger fucked up my scene? You know? And Seamus said like, yeah, Roger, what an asshole. And then he came back with that guy. And then Seamus like, you know, I heard he ate his child, you know, I mean, whatever it was he said. And it just kept rolling back and forth. To me, that was something that actually better than everything he had said, because he was talking about some serious hardcore science when it comes to performance and demonstrated it better than anything, because it was just that yes and, yes and, yes and, yes and that happens in improv. It was so cool.
And yeah, it was funny. Like they ripped a few times in that episode. I think it was mostly at my expense for most of it, which was like, even really funnier.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved it. Like it was hysterical.
Yeah, it's kind of like your friend calls you on radio, right? What happens when they call you? They're no longer your friend. They're a prop.
Yeah, Alan was funny. Yeah, he was very interesting.
We had a lot of like awkward moments, and Josh was good about kind of editing that out with the people. Yeah. But like, you know, like there was
one in particular. It was really like, what the fuck? Like I had a cold. It's actually funny. That episode is the last episode recorded in my house. I don't know. Did you hear my house was burnt down a few weeks ago?
No.
Yeah, I've been homeless for like almost 2 months now.
Burnt down is a little strong. Like there was a fire at his house, and
there was an extensive electrical fire that happened in my garage. My breaker box caught fire at 2 a.m, like an hour after we were done recording, and it lit up like a big box in my garage. And I was able to put the fire out before like it went from that box to the next box to the roof or whatever. And so I was able to put that fire out. We got everyone out. We got called the fire department, and I've been relatively homeless for the last 2 months.
Wow, man.
Yeah, it was more like, it was a really freak accident. It was weird, like because we heard like a bunch of popping, a bunch of like loud noises. Like, what the fuck is that? It's like 2 a.m. and all. And then we go out, and like Sarah's like, oh, I smell smoke. And I go in the garage, I see the big flame, and it's like, oh fuck. Yeah.
Nothing's worse than electrical fires. Man, I was on ships, man. And it was the worst thing. It was the worst nightmare. But we, you know, there's all kinds of redundancy on ships. So you can always turn shit off. But man, a man in a house. I mean, that's a frightening thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And all honestly, like that, it wasn't that bad. Like, it was like one of those like fight or flight reflexes. I've been in fires before, like working in a kitchen, like a big flame doesn't scare me. It's just like, all right, put it out and just go back to like work. Like,
right.
You're like, get over it.
Just see, you know, you guys were like lucid enough to have the babies out and everything like that. Or, you know, and speaking of baby, is she dropped yet?
No, it's like anytime now. Yeah. She was having some back pain earlier. We thought it was some labor.
Josh is dropping his second album in December.
Yeah. No, but the second one's quick.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Seamus was, he was, you know, his mom.
She did it all natural, or did she have C-section?
Cut her in half.
No, are you kidding me? She went totally natural. Anyway, so we get to Norfolk, Virginia, and it was, you know, not quite like Florida, where they were already, you know, having midwives and everybody, you know, just working on it. And it was great, man, because I got to pull Seamus out. That was the coolest thing.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
Yeah. And when he came out, oh my God, I looked at him and I said, man, I hope you're a boy. I can teach you to be charming, but I'll never make you beautiful. And as I pulled him out too, he looked like Buddy Hackett. You guys ever remember Buddy Hackett? His all face was all over on one side. He was a massive kid, and she's not a big woman, man. And he was like riding her spine all the way down. Oh, man. It's like, you know, and I kept looking at him going, what's he going to look like? I mean, he looked like my Uncle Phineas, who, like, you know, had his face broken about 60 times because he, you know, he'd get drunk and go to a prize fight. You know what I mean? You know, old Irish guy, right? You know, he's a young guy coming up, and then he ends up in Steubenville, Ohio, and he's just like, you know, he's an enforcer, and that guy's face was all over the place.
Was Seamus, how big were you when you were born? Like 15 pounds, 16 nine, pounds?
I was 9 pounds.
Nine my nine ass. Pounds. You were 11.4 pounds.
Was he really 11?
11.4? I've always heard 9 pounds, 5 ounces, that's what I've heard. That's what I always heard when I was growing up.
That might be true. That might be true. I just know that when I was holding you, man, I was getting like tight like that, man.
Were you bald or do you have no hair? Or do you have
no. Chance? He was like me, man. He had no hair.
So my son came out with a full head of hair, like full head of hair. And so there.
you're Italian. Yeah. You guys are known for your hair. Irish aren't known for their hair. They're known for their beards, not their hair.
So the best is like, so there's this old wives' tale where if you have heartburn, it means your child's gonna have like a full head of hair coming out. And so like my wife was experiencing heartburn for like a few weeks prior to like giving birth. And it's funny, like when we're in the hospital, every nurse that would like put their like hand into her to check the baby, they're like, wow, I can feel the hair in here. And it's just like, oh,
I love that visual.
Yeah. I haven't experienced anything like this since 4-H.
It's like they're like elbows deep, and like all they're saying is like, wow, there's so much hair in here. That's every nurse for like the 2 days. It's just like, what? That's so fucking gross. Yeah, but it was so funny. He came out with such a full head of hair, and he kept it for most of the time. And then like I think maybe like a few months later, like he started losing it, but then it just came back.
Yeah, they always use that. Well, not, you know, it gets weird. It's weird hair, you know, because it does. It gets kind of it look, you know, it looks like old guy hair, where it's just that little fuzz right around the necks.
Mm-hmm. Like it was like full, like it was like long, like he looked like a girl for like a girl with a full head of hair for like those first couple of months. It was funny. And then like it just seemed like it was just falling out in patches, and like see, I think these bald spots, it was so funny. It was even funnier with him with the bald spots.
Did you call him patches?
No, I was making jokes like, man, dude, like you piss off your barber, or like like those clippers fucked you up, man.
When you had your first kid, how prepared were you?
Oh, so one of my favorite stories is I remember like after, because my wife Sarah, she had to be induced, she was like a week over, and so we're like trying to like go to the hospital, and like they kept canceling on us because this was before COVID. But like they're like understaffed, and it was just like, we're not able to get an appointment. And they would say, oh, we'll do it next week. And then like next week comes around, like, oh, we have to do it the following day. And they did that for almost like a week after. And it was like almost a week of like every day, like, is this the day they're going to do this or not? And so it went for like a week after her initial week over before it finally happened. So we were in the hospital. And then when I think it was like 2 a.m, they call us. We're like, we have a spot now, come in now, or you're not going to have a spot again for the next like 48 hours. And so we're like, fuck. So 2 a.m, we're like driving our asses to the hospital, 45 minutes away. And also we get to the hospital and they start the process, and she was in labor for, I think it was like 28 hours.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very, very intense situation. And I remember like afterwards, we would leave the room after they checked him out and all that. And they take us to the next wing of the hospital, and the nurses left us. Like she gave us like, here's your kid. All right, bye. I'll check in a few hours, make sure he's not dead or anything. We were just left alone. And we're just like, where's the adults at? Like, and it was just like, it was kind of just that feeling of like, why did they leave me, like put me in charge of a kid? Like, I mean, great. I'm 29 at the time, or 30. Yeah. And it was just like, why would you just leave me with this child? And like, I don't know anything about kids really. And yeah, like she showed me how to swaddle in like all of 3 seconds. She's like, oh yeah, do this. And then she's like, oh, that's how you swaddle. I'm just like, fucking slow down. But yeah, it was very, very surreal and all after, because like the whole ordeal was just like very draining. And then you finally get to that point, you're so tired.
Well, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, back to Alan Lake. So like that night I had a cold, and I don't know if you can hear in the audio, I sound more nasally, I guess, than I usually do. And so like I was asking him a question. It's funny, like the phrasing was like, how'd you meet your wife? Like,
oh yeah,
like how'd you meet? And he heard it as, did you like, how'd you beat your wife? And like, and he's like, you want to rephrase that? I'm like, what do you mean? Like how'd you meet your wife? And I kept saying it. And like, she was like, he's saying like, meet, like how'd you meet your wife? And he's like, oh, okay.
he went into that. And I was like, did you think he said beat with a B? And he's like, yeah, I did. I was like, okay. I was like, Alan, do you beat your wife? And he was uncomfortable about joking about domestic violence. That was, yeah, was one line he didn't want to cross. There's another time with Paul Farvar. He used to be a lawyer before he became a comedian. Like he was a lawyer, and then he went to Second City in Chicago to learn improv to become a better lawyer. And he ended up like just liking comedy so much that he made that his thing. I asked him if heckling bothered him more than it did regular comics. You know, and like the look on his face, I looked like, what do you mean regular comics? I was like, oh fuck. I feel like he it was obvious that he thought that I was putting him into a category that might be offensive, you know, like whatever that might be.
Yeah. Hey, do you save this stuff? Do you like save the pieces?
Yeah.
You cut? Yeah. Good. Good.
Keep yeah. Going. Yeah. It was sometimes like some of the more risky stuff we'll put on the Patreon or like just have it in the backlog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of unused audio and video.
Like every once in a while, I'll just try to go as hard as I can at like offensive shit. So, you know, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's just like, I was trying out this bit like where I was just talking about how racist I used to be in high school, and then like,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if I ever told you this, but like, I mean, you know that this would be innocent because you know me, but like I called Derek a monkey in front of the whole class. You know, I had no idea that was a racial slur. You know,
Derek's what I mean? Black for those that are listening.
Yeah. and I made my teacher cry.
Oh, dude, bravo.
Derek didn't seem to mind. He was laughing. Everybody else was laughing. There were plenty of black kids in the class.
Yeah, I can see why Derek wasn't offended.
Yeah, and I literally had no idea that was racial. You know what I mean? That was racially charged.
You weren't around anybody like that.
Right. And so the funny thing is that like our school Dunbar was we were reopened. We were closed back in the 60s because of like desegregation. That was the historically black school. But anyway, they closed that one down. They reopened it in 2000, which was like 7 years before we graduated. We had this ceremony in front of the Dunbar Heritage Committee, which was like made from like alumni from that era. My teacher got up and she told this story about me and Derek and how good of friends we were and how like, but the way she framed it, it was like, I was this racist piece of shit, you know, that was calling him monkey and calling him like all these racial slurs at the beginning. And then somehow through the magic of friendship, like I became like this sympathetic person. And then we were the best of friends at the end of it, you know? So it's like American History X without all the romper stomping and rape. So
just a smidgen though. Like.
just a little bit, but you know, like yeah, nobody knows about that one. And I was sitting there, I was like, this is just hilarious. So I think it'd be funny to like try and talk about how racist you were. And then it's just like the plot of a film or something that everybody knows about, but it'd be really hard to do that, to like make that work.
Oh yeah. 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 What about the origin story?
Josh talked to Kyle and I about starting a podcast, and we were like, hey, this might be cool. We recorded one night, and like, you know, I was thinking, hey, maybe we'll record a few times and like, see how it goes, see what's going on. And then like, so we recorded this, like admittedly really embarrassing episode. You know, I go into like all my mental health issues, I air all my dirty laundry, Freshman. All this stuff. And then like,
wait, you know, we actually like a mock intervention for him at the end of it as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah. We're doing all kinds of off color things. Like we're joking about suicide at the end and all this stuff. And then, you know, and we're like, okay, this sounds kind of cool. Like let's keep going. And then that episode was out on like every fucking podcast, like distribution network. I was like, well, this motherfucker, like, he didn't even ask us about this shit. And this shit's out there. I'm like, we gotta like reel this dog in. Like, I don't fucking trust this guy to like, you know, keep our secrets or whatever, yeah. You know? So like that was the first thing. And then we were like, and then we got it together and we did a few episodes. You know, he kept editing, and he's been very consistent and awesome after that part.
I agree with that.
Anyway, I was hoping to pull that around more. Like, it sounds like I just insulted you, and I didn't have much more to give after that. Go ahead, Josh.
During COVID, we weren't really able to hang out and all due to like lockdowns and just people just trying to avoid everyone.
Oh, everybody was toxic. Why did you even want to be around them? I still don't want to be around them.
So it gave us like a platform to talk to each other, and I always thought it'd be funny, like, since we're going to be doing this like via like Zoom or anything, like it's recorded, it's like one click in Zoom to record stuff. It's not that big of a deal. And I was like, well, I mean, maybe our conversations are funny to other people. And it's like, yeah, I listened to it. I'm like, all right, yeah, this is something I would listen to. So I kind of just posted it, and it kind of snowballed from there. We got a bunch of listens. A lot of people really liked it. And then we just kept recording and recording. And it's just kind of evolved into what it is now. I mean, obviously Kyle's not with us anymore, but we kind of just went in a direction that we really liked.
Rest in peace. It was a crazy accident. I'm just joking. He's not, he's still alive. He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, after his penis surgery to reduce it, I mean,
yeah. After his penis reduction surgery.
Oh man. No, really. Yeah. Don't do that, man. That was so painful. I can't even believe it.
Yeah, they said they used the extra flesh from Kyle's penis to make two other penises. That reminds me of one of my favorite jokes. There's a mortician, and a guy comes on the slab, and he unzips him. He sees this massive penis, like the biggest cock he's ever seen in his life. He's like blown away, like the girth of it, the size of it. He's like, I have to do something about this. And so he snips it off. He puts in a big thing of formaldehyde, and he puts it on his desk because it's just a fucking monster cock. And his wife comes in to like to get lunch with him one day, and she's like, "Oh my god, Jeff died."
Yeah. That's brilliant. Oh god.
So it started out that way. Josh was like all on these subreddits, like dealing with podcasting and stuff like that. And he came across this post, Collectors Mages, which is one of our collaborators, our sponsors. They had access to all of these guests that had agreed to do interviews for their website, you know, and they needed someone to do those interviews. So we ended up getting hooked up with them. We started being able to talk to a lot of really cool people because of that.
That's been great. That's been really great that you're getting fed like that. So tell me about these guys.
Keith runs a site. It's called Collector's Maze. It's basically like an online Comic-Con type thing. So he was like kind of like bringing the Comic-Con experience to people over the web. So you'd see like artists, you'd see the cosplayers, you'd see people that you would normally do like convention interviews, that's where we kind of come in, is to interview this type of people. And so it's just bringing all these different people together and kind of sharing them on the web and giving those people a platform, like especially the cosplayers and the artists and all. So
his benefit for having you do this, he's posting these things somewhere too.
Yeah. We cut him a video whenever we do an interview for him. He's able to put that full thing on his site.
Yeah. Like he leverages his YouTube. Like he doesn't do like audio only, and like we're leveraging our audio only for our podcast for the most part. So it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship where he gets the videos, we get the audio, and like all I really care about is the audio.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. And so how does somebody watch his stuff?
Collectorsmaze.com. with an S. Yeah. And then no apostrophe in the website and yeah. or on the YouTube. But yeah, the YouTube is the same thing.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. We both know because of our name that apostrophes are not happening anymore.
At my last job, they put the apostrophe in my email and like it fucked with SQL Server like so much. Like I couldn't log in.
Oh, you know wow. I mean?
It was so annoying.
Yeah.
It's still there on like the lower environments. Like
I try to get the VA to give me an O and then a space and a done.
Yeah.
And then I tried to get him to give me a capital O and a capital D right next to each other and a UNN. And they still haven't done it. So, you know, I'm a Nordic god.
It's funny with Collector's Maze, before we like officially like got with them, we were releasing an episode where we interview a OnlyFans content creator. And so it was like, it happened, like that episode happened like right when we were signing on with Collector's Maze. I was like, oh, he's going to 100% drop us. This is not with their brand.
He was really cool about it. Like, they're yeah. real like family friendly.
You guys drop a lot of F-bombs though for family friendly.
Well, no, our interviews aren't that, you know, they know that.
And he does sell him his mature audience. Like he knows like our branding, like we're not going to like talk about like ridiculous things, but we'll casually say fuck. Like it's just the way we talk.
No, you say fuck a lot. No, really, guys. You guys say fuck a lot.
It's gotten a lot better than it used to be. Not necessarily in this podcast arc, but as human beings.
Same as you, especially, because you were not raised in an environment where that word was very common.
Yeah, bullshit.
My name is Seamus O-fucking-Dunn for the first 12 years of my
fucking
life.
Fucking Seamus O-fucking-Dunn over here. Doesn't feel like we curse that much.
Yeah, like cursing is like such like an afterthought for me. Like I don't like say fuck just to sound cool or anything like that.
I'm the same way. You know, Denise will tell me, she goes, man, you're just really ripping today. And I was like, I don't even notice it. I don't notice it. And that's the sad part. When Seamus was a little kid, I told him, listen, those words are adult words. Adults don't like to hear little kids say them. I don't care what you say around your friends. Just don't say this stuff in front of your family. That's all you got to do. Just don't say it in front of your family. And he was really good about that. He never did. So let's talk about your guests. Are they consistently as cool as the ones that I'm talking about? Or are there some times where they're just, you know, other than technical problems, where they're just, I mean, I understand that some people are a little harder to be open. Like you guys have talked about some actors.
I know some of the people we've talked to, it feels like they're kind of giving us a sales pitch.
Yeah. Yeah,
performing like the entire time, and it's just like, dude, just turn it off. We're just talking.
I feel like we're on a press junket kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they get on that circuit. They're like, oh, I've talked to a bunch of people already. This is like my spiel. This is like this is what they want to hear. This is like, but it's like, yeah, just get there naturally, man. Just
like I want to, you know, I like if we have somebody on, I want to be celebrating them and like what they've done. You know what I mean? Like I don't know that it's necessarily like not entertaining though. Also like maybe with some people, they, you know, they have that and like going to be in, like, maybe we don't get to connect on the same level that we do with someone else, you know, but we've had other actors that have, we've had actors that have been great too.
Okay. So talked about what something surprised you. I'm not going to ask you your most memorable guest because what I'm hearing is everybody's got a lot of cred.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are in a zone where like your most memorable guest. I mean, like, you know, if you had, you know, somebody that was like way out of the realm, like.
I mean, we've had some guests. I'm generally surprised that they agreed to come on.
Yeah.
Chris Williams. Like, yeah. Because like, he's been on like multiple like big shows and movies and stuff like that. And it's just like, he listened to our trailer. It's like, yeah, I want to come on. And it's just like, excuse me?
I was like, I wasn't gonna tell Josh this, but I thought our trailer was a piece of crap. Because I thought it was a piece of shit, you know? Like I didn't know how to make it better, so I didn't want to say anything. But
yeah, you never want to say anything because it'll fall on you. I just want to never criticize anybody because like you can do it better.
Yeah, everyone can talk shit until like you can like, yeah, fucking do, well, something about it.
The new one is much better than the old one. The new one we just made.
We?
I was at the mic, sir. You hobbled it together. I'll give you that.
Yeah, the thing about editing though, when you're editing, you got to be willing to listen to it a million times.
I get sick of it.
Yeah, really, you're to the point where you got to get away from it to listen to it, and then you'll go, oh, this was really good. This mm-hmm. was really good. You know, I listen to my old commercials and stuff like that, and I can't even imagine what's going through my head when I wrote them because they were so twisted. And I still, you know, it's kind of cool. But when I was doing it, I was like, oh God, get this out of my face. Even when I'm doing stuff for my business, you know, you just over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's funny. Like when I edit, and I'm usually up like a few weeks worth of episodes. And so like, I'll listen to it a million times during like the cuts and all that. And then like, I don't listen to it for like a few weeks until it like releases. And I make sure like it sounds good on like Spotify or something.
Yeah, you
like
gotta do it one more time. Yeah,
and it's like it's like a long enough gap where like I forget it. I'm like, oh, this is magical. Like, so I just remember like being, oh, this is like fucking like 8 hours of my life, and like,
oh yeah, yeah, because you're spending all this time and you're cutting out garbage, and so you're going along and everything's good, and you're like, oh, gotta get rid of it, gotta get rid of it, gotta take it out, gotta take it out, and you're going through all that emotion. And then you come along and, you know, you hear it, well, it's nice and clean. And this is something I would suggest. You should have some stuff in the can. And the stuff you should have in the can is just you guys like dancing.
Oh, like a bit. Okay.
Like not even a bit, like no words spoken, just silent bullshit. Just silent bullshit.
Well, we're an audio only podcast for a lot of people. So,
okay. Well, if it's audio only.
Yeah, videos have videos for days. I think we're up to like probably at least a few hundred hours worth of videos that we haven't even touched yet.
Wow, man. Oh my God.
I'm in charge of the videos. That kind of gives you an idea of my work ethic. I'm finally making stuff that I'm like okay with releasing, which is good.
Good, good.
Why have you not released anything in the last few weeks?
I just figured it out on Thursday. So I got stuff up.
So back to like originally, like when Kyle, like we did have like a minor falling out, and we kind of had like an impasse. We're like, all right, well, let's figure out what we want to do here. And Seamus said, like, well, let's keep doing it. I really dig it. I'm like, all right, you talked me into it. And I was doing all the work. I was editing, posting, doing the social media, I was cutting the videos. I was literally doing everything. I'm like, all right, well, let's divvy up some of the workload. Cause like, obviously like, I work full time and I have a child and a life and all that. I can't devote it all to
all I've podcasts. Got is ADD. That's all I've got that is in my way.
So I split up the workload. I'm like, all right, well, I'll focus on these. Seamus, you can focus on these. And videos is one of those things. And I think we did this back in March. And I think you've posted one video between March and now.
Yes. Are you proud of me, Daddy?
Procrastination.
But I still love him, so at least like he's got that. And
Yeah,
that's what I said. Like he asked in one of the videos that's coming up. He asked me like, "What advice would you give to someone who's starting out?" I was like, "Find somebody who's like you're really good friends with, who's like really invested in your relationship to the point where they really can't leave you because their life would have no meaning, and then let them do all the work."
my answer to that question is: don't start a podcast with one of your friends.
Okay, so we've gone through most of it. Do you guys ever troll for guests?
What do you mean by troll? Like
troll has a different meaning now than it does when you were on boats.
Oh, you mean like trying to fish for guests, right?
Yeah. Most of our guests do come from Josh reaching out.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, so we initially like got a lot of our guests because of our connection with Collector's Maze, but then we got to a point where I started figuring out how to approach people and how to get in touch with people and get people to respond back to me. And then like a lot of our like our bigger guests was people I just reached out to personally.
Well, you know, you've got enough under your belt now that you've got some cred.
Yeah.
And they can sample you, you know.
Yeah, like that's a good thing about the Florida comedians. Like anytime we want to get a Florida comedian, they see like we interviewed AJ Wilkerson, Sean Finnerty. And like any of the other ones we interviewed, like they're all big players in South Florida. Like
what a that's a real good resource.
Yeah.
Cause those guys, you know, as busy as they are when they're touring all the time, you know, they were down for a while too. So anything they could do was just,
Yeah, it was right at the, like the tail end of like the COVID lockdown. So like we're able to like interview them like right before they start going and like touring heavily. Yeah. And also got in pretty quick and all was awesome.
You can meet anybody now that you guys have Craig. Josh, you can call anybody.
So the problem is getting a hold of people. Like that's the thing. We got all the clout in the world, but actually like getting in touch with people is the hardest the hardest thing.
But you're going right to the source. Now these guys all have clouds of people around them.
Yeah. Once you start getting people that have like secretaries and like managers and stuff like that, it's harder to get to people.
I don't know that we're at the point where we would pass through a manager filter. Cause like they're thinking about followers and stuff like that. Like the people that we talk to have just legitimately wanted to have a conversation, I think.
Yeah, because we had one comedian, like, she told us, like, oh, send the information to the manager. And, like, I haven't heard anything back in, like, the last, like, month and a half. So I'm assuming it just went through. And it
was Yeah. But the thing is, though, the point is consistency of the hammer. I mean, like, you know, you keep doing something and doing something to do something, you're going to break through.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the most important thing on earth is just asking.
Yeah.
You know, you show up and you ask. And Denise is always fascinated about the stuff that I'm able to get accomplished just from asking.
Yeah. I mean, Seamus will tell you, like I said, like I'll message like 100 people and I'll get like one or two bites. And like,
dude, yeah. that's killer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, right? Trust me. Yeah.
If you hit 100 and you got 60, there's your year. Right. Yeah. That's going to be a pain in the ass because everybody's going to be getting impatient.
We have to release more than once a week. That happens.
Well, that, you know, that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just producing two episodes a week is the problem.
Yeah. So, well, no. If you're doing that kind of stuff, though, and you start getting some money going on and you're able to satisfy yourselves, then you spread the wealth around. You find
100%. That's the first thing, is like getting an editor just to edit it and all, where I can just show up.
Yeah, but no, you can never just show up.
Seamus just shows up.
that's part of my charm.
But yeah, there's lots of people I want to talk to, but it's just the getting in touch with them. I think once like the COVID like gets under control, where like conventions start opening up again, where I can be like face to face with people and like bypass like that manager or their secretary or.
Oh yeah, you can start. Oh yeah. That'd be the whole cool thing. Then just going to the events and trying to hook. Yeah, that, not only that, but that's great, great fun.
But yeah, we built a reputation. We don't really have a reputation because social media is like a whole different gambit. Like that's a completely different game. That's very, very hard and very challenging to master. Yeah, I think we've interviewed enough people where
I think we're in a good place to start. Like if we start scaling out now and like trying to garner a following on social media a little bit more aggressively. And I know Josh is laughing his ass off right now because it just sounds like bullshit from coming from me, but. Like if we do that, it'd be
Seamus. This is one I want to ask you.
Yeah,
you know how many family members you have?
You Irish people like the fuck.
it's the Pope, man. The Pope says you got to do it. I mean, you're a Catholic, you got to do it. And see, that's a rough part.
You're obligated. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you are obligated. So Josh, you're in a pretty nice digs now for being homeless.
He's in an Airbnb.
Yeah, I've been in an Airbnb for like over a month now. Wow. Yeah, my insurance company, they gave me an allowance of like $20,000 to like use for housing.
And so your other place is covered?
Yeah. So
that's a terrible thing that you went through that, but it's kind of cool if you could just back off a little on the expenses. The 20K could last a long time.
So the thing is, like, the Airbnb is like bigger and nicer than my current house. It's on the water. It's got a pool, all the works and all that. But actually, I don't like it because it's so big. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's also funny as well. Like, we're planning on selling our house. Like, we bought our house 6 years ago, and we've been looking to sell just because we want to get something bigger. And like, I bought it before like the boom in the housing market.
Oh yeah, here. 6 years ago was a good time to buy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like my house, so like kind of just doubled in value. So we're planning on selling it, and due to the fire, the insurance company paid for all new flooring, all new roofing, replaced the circuit breaker. So like I'm getting like the works and all, and like so the fire is like it works out. Like it's gonna work out like financially good for us. It's just the inconvenience of it all is the problem. My wife's she's doing 3 weeks, so
yeah. But you're good digs though for that. I mean, it's just not the house that's your house, you know.
Yeah.
So where's all the stuff? That's the thing. Stuff.
So like a lot of it we're gonna have to throw away and get rid of just because the smoke damage and all that. I mean, like a good chunk will be covered by the insurance. Like I think we're allowed up to 50,000 in personal items. Which sounds like a lot, but it's really not that much.
It's not when you consider the incremental stuff, you know, mm-hmm. It just all adds up. I mean, even when you start looking at.
Yeah. I mean, I have almost $60,000-$70,000 in collectibles alone, just in collectibles. And yeah.
Magic cards.
Magic cards, comics, figures and stuff like that. Like I'm just a collectible guy. But even like couches, like you look the like furnishing room, like furnishing room is going to be at least a few thousand between the bed, the furniture, living rooms, and other like.
Look, if you're just looking at couches, I mean, they start at like five.
Yeah.
For a crappy couch, and then and they go up to like tens of thousands.
Yeah, like I just had to replace my washer and dryer because it was like right next to the fire, and all, and that's like $2,000 for new washer, new dryer. So it's like you can eat through $50,000 pretty quickly. So.
You know, I have rebuilt my dryer and my washer about three times. I mean, it's just the whole thing about being frugal. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm sure Denise would like a, you know, an over under kind of thing going on. It's like, no, it's still working. I know how to fix it.
And so it's like funny, like the washer and dryer, like I'm like, let's spend a little bit extra because we're planning on selling our house like soon, eventually. So it's like, it's just going to get rolled into the price of the house. So it's like, it's just free money, really.
Yeah, it's free money. But, you know, you before you sell the house, you might want to snatch that out of there.
Yeah, I thought about it as well. Like, yeah, these are this brand new Samsung.
The reason we got this house for the price we did is because it didn't have, you know, it didn't have comparable improvements to other houses. This was built in 1990. Okay. And it's still got the original cabinets in it. And it's got a lot of original stuff in it. And so we were able to get it for a lot less than they were even asking on it. And we also were the only people that bid on it. It had been on the market for over a year for some reason.
Oh, wow.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, they put a new roof in it. They've done all the stuff, you know, but it just, Denise, the first 5 weeks we're here, Denise put in a cork floor. You know, she came up in cabinet making, so I'm not the woodworker in this family. She put in this whole, no thresholds, thresholds, just continuous run all the way through. Holy crap. So, I mean, that's a nice improvement and it's fun to walk on. You know, it's got some give to it. The floor wasn't in when you were here, was it, Seamus? You were only here when we were moving, right?
Yeah, I helped you guys move.
Yeah, you did.
That's it.
It was really appreciated too, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I really loved your place in St. Petersburg, the factory and all. I thought that was like
one of the coolest places to live. Oh man, the factory was really cool.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's late.
Yes. And
it is late.
And you're both responsible for tomorrow, and tomorrow is a big day for everybody because it is Halloween.
It's Halloween. Yeah. I'm doing yoga in the morning.
You're doing yoga in the morning?
Yeah, 9:30.
Where?
Yoga Bird.
Yoga Bird?
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's in Fort Myers, down on College Parkway.
So the hot yoga or just regular yoga?
I don't do hot yoga.
No, don't do hot yoga.
It's not good for me.
It's not good for a lot of people. And really? The people that do it are the people that are less likely to benefit from it because they're all people that shouldn't be in the heat.
All right, Kevin. All right. It's been a blast hanging out with you tonight. Yeah, we definitely got to do this again.
Yeah, it's now I'm rigged. Next time I'll have a little
better chat. Yeah, you sounded great tonight.
I was joking with Seamus a while ago. I think you guys doing a podcast, you're going to be hysterical. Just like called like daddy issues or something. Yeah. Yeah. I even told him, like, I'll produce the first couple episodes.
Oh, man, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah. You know, just be a grudge thing. You guys could just do it going, oh, man, tell you what, that's a good idea. You know, so how's your relationship with your dad? Just start asking people, how would you like to come on our show? And you guys just hash it out.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
I think it's a good way to meet strippers.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great night,
everybody. God bless you, brother.
Love you,
take everyone. Take care. Congratulations on everything. Tell Sarah I said hello.
Yeah. We'll have to get together one of these days in person.
Yeah, in person. In person.
Yep.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
I'm not vaccinated. All right, love you guys. All right.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun talking to your dad.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool. Like he's funny for those that are listening. This episode ended up being like 3.5 hours. And we also recorded like a week prior for like another 2 hours as well. So we talked to Kevin for quite a while. He's what we call long-winded, and he's funny where he would start like a question and then he just goes on this weird tangent for like 30 minutes and then he gets back to it. So hopefully it sounds good on your end, but it was just so funny and talking to him.
You seem to be very good at following what he's saying. Like it's hard for me to follow sometimes.
I feel like that's like an epitome of your childhood.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, you were probably not the easiest child to fucking raise. I can imagine.
Dude, can you imagine? Like, I'm sitting there trying to communicate in metaphors. He's like, "What the fuck are you talking about, Seamus?" At least he didn't hit me. So. I don't know. Maybe I would have fared better if he'd hit me.
I think so.
I don't know. All right, this is a little dark. Let's roll this back. He's also very sensitive too, so I don't want to say too much.
No, I really appreciate your dad talking to us. Not only just the fact of like interviewing us for our 1 year episode, even getting to talk to him and interview him for his episode, and just shooting the shit. Like, I haven't talked to your dad in like 5-10 years at least. And it's cool, like, catching up with him and, like, telling him, like, where I'm at in my life and all that, sharing those things with him, because your dad's a really, really cool guy and really sweet person.
One thing about my dad, and I have this a little bit, too, like, he'll, like, if you've got something going on, he gets, like, really excited about it. And he'll try to help you with it. He'll do everything he can to help you with it. And, like, sometimes I think that can be off-putting to people, but it's something I've always liked about him.
Yeah, your dad cares. He's a really passionate person, even just listening to talk and all. Like, I listen to him for hours. Obviously I listen to him for hours, but he's a very sweet person. So I hope everyone listening, we do appreciate all the support. We do appreciate you guys listening this entire time. For those that have been listening since our really, really rough cut for our first episode that was quickly taken down by Seamus, and then our even rougher first episode, and then the sequential episodes after that. It was a rough start, but I'm really glad where we're at now. It's definitely been really, really positive and really, really cool to do the kind of thing we're doing.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Cheers to another 52 episodes.
And thanks to everybody who hasn't heard our cast yet, also, that's going to like it.
And thank you for our Patreons. Yes. If you want to support the WWSD podcast, you can go to.
You're my favorite five people in the world, to be honest.
I do personally love most of our Patreons, so thank you.
Most of them I love. I love most of them.
Fuck Derek.
No, I love Derek. There's that weird guy that neither of us have met that's paying $50 a month.
Yeah, he just makes Seamus send him pictures or his feet. Like, it's all, he just asks for feet pictures every month. It's weird. But I'm not gonna, like, not send him Seamus's feet, because, like,
I get this message. It says, "What do you think of this?" And it's just a picture of his dick. I'm like, this isn't OnlyFans, bro.
Can you step on more bugs, please?
Oh, man. Thank you all for listening. If you would like to support the WWSD podcast, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/WWSD_podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you weren't my dad, I would have been here on time.
Yeah, I usually send Seamus the invite like 30 minutes to 40 minutes before we're supposed to start, just so I can make sure he gets in. Because it seems like he always has like random technical difficulties, and it's just like, who are you, your mom or something? Like.